Men, we say things to beautiful half-naked women sometimes that we don't necessarily. Hello, Addison, we're back.
We are back, baby. We are back. Billy is fist pumping in the air. Billy, I have kind of a hot take or a hot statement. The episode didn't surprise me.
It didn't surprise me at first, but just within the last 10 or 15 minutes, I thought about it further, and there is an angle. Granted, this is kind of giving the show maybe more credit than most people want, but there is an angle that does surprise me.
But
just based on what, because you got a chance to talk to, and I think we should talk about this in a little bit, you got a chance to talk to some of the cast, and Luke Grimes said that, like, it was going to be a huge shocker this episode, and it was kind of the thing that we thought would happen, although the details were unclear.
Yes, like exactly how it was going to go down, you know, that's the part that I was like, I guess maybe, I don't know, shocked still is the correct word, but like I was just searching for how it was going to go down. I'm excited to talk about that. And I kind of want to talk a little bit later about, and this might be your theory that you thought about all 10 minutes ago, but what we talked about earlier with Sterling Whitaker, who sometimes comes on this podcast, about the loophole that I said I couldn't remember.
Do you remember? Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. No, we got to dive right into that. That's the thing for me.
Okay.
But I've thought of an alternate theory on that loophole. So to kind of recap what Addison's saying, and we won't get into it right now because I know we got trivia and such, but like we did a video and there's a huge, huge problem with what happened in John Dutton's fate. Like what could be a enormous, like gaping plot hole, a bait and switch, you could even call it, if you're kind of a Yellowstone cynic. But if you're not a Yellowstone cynic, you can interpret this a different way. And the different way is kind of what I came to while I was sitting here waiting to get started within the last 15 minutes.
Ooh, okay.
It's all very fresh.
Yeah, all very fresh. Okay, well, but before we get into that, let's dive into trivia, our winner, and then we will go into this week's trivia.
All right, this last week's trivia question was, how many John Duttons are there across the Yellowstone universe? And this was assuming that the 90s John Dutton is one and the same as Kevin Costner's John Dutton. So not how many actors have played John Dutton, like how many different characters with the name John Dutton have we seen?
I came up with four in my head. I don't know if that's the correct answer or not.
Four, yeah, that's
really?
Absolutely right. Yeah,
I think congrats. I need some Yellowstone swag from this.
Well, Darla from Missouri, she beat you to it. She emailed staff@tasteofcountry.com. And we always say the first person to email the correct answer. She knew there was four. You got John Sr., who was a kid on 1883, and then he was on 1923 where he died. Another John Sr., played by Dabney Coleman, that was Kevin Costner's character's father. And then, of course, Kevin Costner's John Dutton is three. And the fourth one is the baby from Casey and Monica. His name was John as well, and we never actually met him, but he died at the start of season five. So four is the correct answer.
Dukes, I think this is like the first time I've ever gotten a trivia, and I don't even win anything from it, but I'm excited.
I feel like we can hook you up. So the winner gets one of our new, we call it the Y Collection, but it's at the Taste of Country store. If you're a Yellowstone fan, you're really going to enjoy some of these shirts. Some of them are themed for Rip. There's a I Am a Tornado t-shirt that's themed after Beth. And then we have some other sort of swag of that elk. Uh-huh. So you get a t-shirt, pick your color, pick your size, and we'll ship that to you if you're the first person to get the trivia question correct.
And where you leave that trivia question is at staff. Nope. Yep. Yep. At staff@tasteofcountry.com.
Yep. This week's trivia question, I think, is pretty easy to find out, even if you don't know off the top of your head. Addison, as a good Texan, I think you should be able to recite a small book report on this person, but the end of the premiere episode said, in memory of Billy Clapper. Who was Billy Clapper?
That sounds like an SAT question. Who was Billy Clapper?
Do you know?
I'm gonna let you know if I know next week.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. I think even like with a little bit of deductive reasoning, you can kind of figure it out and kind of get to the heart of it. But really what I want people to do is sort of Google this guy and then maybe read a little bit about his story, because it's pretty interesting what he does and what he did, and why Yellowstone did a little in remembrance of him at the end of the episode.
Not me Googling Billy Clapper.
In real time.
Quite literally in real time.
You'll circle back. You'll see him. You're going to go, oh, save us that, because I don't want you to give away.
Don't worry. I put the bookmark at the very top of my tab, and I'm going to, my browser, I'm going to come back to it. Don't worry.
Okay.
Let's dive into what I want to talk about first is we're coming into this episode with this trailer where we do see John Dutton, you know, we see Jamie's car on fire, we see the man that's being pushed off the train station. And so we enter, or at least I enter this episode going, okay, we might see John Dutton alive, maybe for episode one, episode two, or we might not. Well, we might not.
Very clear, definitive answer to that right off the bat, I think. Like, they didn't even show us any John Dutton at all. So all those, that was all old episodes, all old footage of the trailer of Kevin Costner.
Yes. So this episode opens up at the governor's mansion, and we learn that John Dutton has been assassinated, has been shot, and it's a pretty... I didn't have a hard time watching it necessarily, but I think emotionally what was hard is where you see Beth and Casey show up to the house and just kind of the gripping emotion that comes with, they just found out that number one, their father's dead. And number two, they choose to go into the bathroom where John has been shot, and just seeing that emotion. I think this is also too where I personally, for the first time in a minute, feel like Casey and Beth are interacting as siblings.
We saw very little of that here and there throughout the first 4.5 seasons, but not too much of this. And I think there's going to be so much of that these next 4 or 5 episodes. I feel like they're kind of bonded now as they fight forward. But I had a couple of thoughts about this scene. First of all, I didn't know where we were at first. It took a second for me to figure out, okay, we're at the governor's mansion, because I don't know that we ever saw John in that sort of setting. So that was confusing to me. Mm-hmm. But then they do show a body. And we're led to believe, and authorities believe, that Governor John Dutton died by suicide. And of course, Casey and Beth think that's absurd. And they, Beth especially, suspects something else. But they show a body. Shout out to the guy who got to play dead John Dutton there for a second on the floor. You don't see a face, but you see an arm and a leg. Like, that guy's got a little credit there.
Not once did I think about that.
I did. I Googled. I might have Googled to see if I could get a cast name.
Yeah, Billy's also like, how does one apply for that position?
Well, sometimes those people are kind of famous. Like, a bit of a sidetrack, really? And we're going to get right back to it. But like W. Earl Brown, who was a famous actor, and he was actually in this episode as a sheriff, like a random character. And I also found out, you remember like masked men who attacked Beth in the yes. office, like way yes. earlier?
Yes.
One of those guys is one of the main actors on Tulsa King.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, his name, he plays Chicky on Tulsa King. Like, he was the guy that attacks Beth. Chicky was the mobster, the New York mobster. Like, so like you find out these little things, it's like, oh, that's really kind of nuts. So it might've been someone famous. Who knows?
Logistically, does this plot seem flawed in the sense of, I would feel like there is a lot of security around the governor's mansion?
Well, that certainly is a question. And at the end of the episode, they get to that. Like, apparently the power went out, so the security cameras were disabled. So they just had to sort of get past any sort of security personnel. And they did that successfully. So the working theory I think you're left with is that it was an assassination attempt made to look like a suicide and done successfully. And we know that's the case, in fact, because pretty quickly we get to a scene of Sarah Atwood, and this is a scene from 6 weeks earlier, Sarah Atwood meeting with a hitman and planning exactly this. Like, she is planning the murder of John Dutton through a hitman to look like suicide.
That's what that scene was. I literally wrote down, now granted, I watched this last night, and so I was in between, you know, starting to fade because I was just tired, and obviously I was interested in the Yellowstone, but I, like, at that point in the show, I literally wrote down Sarah Atwood part to play ? Of just like what that scene, I was a little confused what that scene was. So she was meeting with the hitman, man.
Okay. So let's get into it here. Cause this is, I think, the big thing, the big takeaway from this episode and then this season. And I think you could say there's a fairly big plot hole. Sarah meets with a man named Grant. It's in this dark sort of conference room, and she's frisked and goes through security. And we quickly find out these are the people she's going to hire to kill John Dutton. And if you remember, her and Jamie had had a conversation previously where they agreed to hire a hitman. So we're led to believe this is her just following through on that conversation. They go through it. The hitman, the business of like being a hitman, all kinds of fascinated me. Like how they kind of protect themselves with the video, security, like very, very cold and calculated. Like, I thought that was a super interesting scene. I think Sarah Atwood as a character is terrible. Like, she's a one of the greatest villains, but also very fascinating. And you can't look away from her whenever she's on screen. It's always good when she's on the screen.
I agree. And it's one of those two of, yeah, I think just the whole process, I just expected this, you know, the hitman just organization, I guess is the right word, to be more like grungy, sketch. Yeah. And it's more like, it's a little bit more of a well-refined, oiled machine, unfortunately.
Very. Like, they have a receptionist, apparently, at this office. Yeah, and they have a staff. Like,
the little did I know.
Who knew? And, you know, Jamie, when he finds out that his dad has died, like, he looks genuinely shocked.
Yes.
Which I think we are led to believe maybe is just him acting to a certain extent, or are experiencing some sort of torment, like grief for the man he just killed, but also knowing he was a part of the plot. That may not be the case. Mm-hmm. The conversation that Jamie and Sarah had to close season five was not about killing John Dutton at all.
See, that's the – okay, so for context for those who are listening, Billy brought this up earlier this morning before we recorded of – like, I watched this going, yeah, you know, this has been the thought all along. They were here to also kill John Dutton. Like, I didn't think anything of it. And then Billy brought up the fact of like, wait, no, John wasn't the one that they were originally trying to kill. It was Beth. And that – so I completely – can you walk us through that conversation to end season five, part A, of what that was like with Sarah Atwood and Jamie? Because I personally forgot.
So we published a whole video on this that I think kind of breaks it down really well with visuals. But I'll do my best to kind of describe that scene without the benefit of being able to actually watch it. What has just happened, it was – Beth broke into Jamie's house where he lives with Sarah, and they have a big fight. Afterwards, Sarah is wearing a bed sheet, tending to Jamie's wounds. And she asks him something like, what do you think we'll do next? And Jamie says, honestly, I think she'll try to kill me. Sarah kind of laughs and is like, are you being serious? And Jamie's like, yeah, I think Beth's going to try to kill me. So he asks Sarah if he knows anybody to... if she knows of an organization that can kind of play offense. His words are like, he doesn't want to play defense. He wants to play offense and go after Beth. And she concedes that she knows a couple of companies. They make it look like a car crash or a heart attack. They're very professional. So Jamie says, okay, well, can I talk to these people? And Sarah says, no. I'll talk to them. You need to stay out of this. And then they have a line that I think is really sort of critical. It ends with Sarah saying, so if you're going to go after her, you just might, maybe, and she sort of nods. And he says, that's what I was thinking too. Like, remember that. Put that off to the side just there for a second. The scene cuts away, flash forward to this, and all of a sudden, Sarah is talking to Grant about killing John Dutton. Nowhere in the Sarah and Jamie conversation did anybody mention John Dutton's name by name. At best, and this is a very, very generous interpretation, that little exchange where she's sort of winking and nodding and he says, that's what I was thinking too. That might have been them saying you should go after John Dutton and kill him as well. That's a generous interpretation. It could be the heart of this misinterpretation that we get at the end of the episode. But they're all Beth. Like, this was about Beth. Kill Beth because she's going to try to kill Jamie. So is it a total bait and switch? Like, did they not know how to get John Dutton killed off? So they just sort of hoped we would forget that that conversation was about Beth, which almost everybody did because it was 2 years ago. It wasn't, though. It was about Beth. It wasn't about John. Like, this is bananas to me.
Well, and that, like, I forgot about it. Unless this is, you know, I don't think it's going to necessarily come up later in the season, but, or it's one of those of like, it does kind of come up, like that conversation will be had of maybe Jamie says, I thought you meant who else, you know, Rip or something, Rip and Beth. And, you know, that was implied. And then she's like, well, no, I was implying John. Like, maybe there is a conversation of, hey, I like, we were not on the same page and Sarah just assumed it would be John. I don't know. That seems probably too, a little too convoluted to actually be a conversation. I think it just might've been Taylor Sheridan got a little messy in the writing process and forgot that little plot.
Well, that's if I had to bet, I would bet that, but I have an alternative theory.
Ooh, okay. Let me hear it.
All right. Well, first of all, like at the end, Jamie enters his house. He's very distraught. He's crying. He's upset.
Breaks Sarah, his door.
Yeah, that was weird.
That seemed a little, that was too dramatic. That answered the question of that we were covering in one of our mini videos before. We're like, he's having to break into his own home. Like, what's going on? And then when I actually saw where that scene went, I was like, oh, wait, this is beyond anticlimactic and very dramatic.
Yeah. He was just fumbling with his keys and got frustrated.
So broke the door. Like,
okay, whatever. So he's crying. And then here comes Sarah Atwood. Like,
this scene made me laugh. This scene genuinely made me laugh.
Like, when she's killed, and she's going to be killed, like, she needs to be killed in lingerie because that's kind of her standard. Like, she just shows up. She's wearing nothing but underwear and a bra, and she's got two glasses of champagne, and she's like, let's partay.
I just killed your father. You know what I mean? Like, what? There's a level of...
Read the room, sister.
There's a level of mental, like, awareness. I don't know. There's something not right up in that head.
100%. Like, this is why she's such a great villain. Like, she has no concept that even if he's all in on this, there's going to be some sort of emotional baggage that you're going to have to manage first before you get to the celebration. It's not just like, he's not just going to be come flying in, unbuttoning his shirt, and he's like, let's go, girl.
My father's dead. Yeah.
That was weird. That was her character, though.
Yeah. It just made me hate her even more.
But Jamie, he finds out it's her, and he's like, it's you. You did this. Did you buy... that he didn't know it was her, like, and he didn't connect the death back to that conversation they had, which was, I guess, 6 or 7 weeks earlier, right? In terms of time passed, it was 6 weeks earlier. Like, he didn't buy that, he didn't connect it. Did you buy that he didn't connect it?
A little bit, I because I'm curious if just that whole conversation about the hitman, all the above, might have come for him at a time of just like frustration and passion, and in all reality, he didn't mean it. And then, you know, the de-escalation of emotions has come down after 6 weeks and might have forgotten it because he's like, surely, like, it won't actually happen. You know what I mean? Like, that would be extreme. And then when it actually does, it's like, oh, wait, crap. Wait, that conversation really did happen. I didn't think it would actually go through. And you actually did it.
Right. But the conversation didn't happen. And here's why here's why I argue we got to look two possibilities. One, the cynic says they pulled a bait and switch and they didn't have any way to kill John Dutton off. The second possibility is everybody's meant to be having the conversation we're having right now. Or wait, hold up. Wait a second. Mm-hmm. They never talked about that. Jamie never agreed to kill his father. Somehow Jamie and Beth are going to get on the same page and realize that Jamie didn't agree to this. And maybe they could kind of come together at the end of this.
Oh, interesting.
Form a partnership. Like, maybe the conversation everybody's supposed to be having is the one that you and I are having right now. Or like, whoa, that's not what they talked about. problem is no one's talking about that. Everybody's just like, oh, well, that's what Jamie signed up for.
That theory is too clever, I think. But I like it because we have talked before. We're like, there's no world in which Jamie and Beth end up coming together. But
right.
And I've seen interviews where Kelly Riley was talking. I think it was Good Morning America, where she was saying the way that this season ends, she felt like Taylor Sheridan did such a great job and that she cried and felt like it did the show like just justice and ended in a beautiful way that she ended up telling him thank you for writing it this way. So that made me very intrigued.
Maybe Casey somehow mediates this. Like there's a lot of, I don't know how it gets there, but I'm holding out a little hope that that's the case. I don't know. The video we made is kind of really cynical a little bit. Like I tried not to be so totally cynical in it, but I am a little bit. And only afterward did I kind of come up with this alternative theory that I think is possible. So it's a little bit separate from the video. But I keep coming back to Sarah. Like Sarah, who like they had that one conversation and then she just went and pulled the trigger. And Jamie's like, we talked. Listen, Sarah, this is just, I'm going to talk to you here. This is Billy and I talking. Men, we say things to beautiful half-naked women sometimes that we don't necessarily mean. Like it's just a flaw in our gender. Like you need to come back and be like, listen, did you really mean what we just talked about? Like a second conversation was 100% necessary, girl.
Hey, per my last email type of conversation.
Right, right, right. Like, hey, remember that thing we talked about the other night? Do you mean that? Like, men and women have having a version of that conversation for centuries. Like, it's not about murder generally. It's about, like, some sort of I love you. Like, 100% necessary.
Something that I did enjoy seeing in this episode is I feel like, man, this was an episode that I really felt for the first time we saw Beth actually needing someone. And what I mean by that is she is so disrupted by, reasonably so, by her father's death and that whole scene that, number one, she's clinging to Casey, but really where I think this is the first time that I'm like, man, she's ever actually, I felt like she's needed Rip, and Rip is not just like a plus one to her life, but a kind of like, I could exist without you a little bit, was this episode. And you can see her truly crumbling. And this is the first time that I feel like she's picked up the phone and said, Rip, I need you here. Like, it's not even, I need you to come home because essentially she cannot function alone. And Rip's in Texas at this point, and that scene actually makes me laugh a little bit, where he like gets on this horse, he's like, I'm coming, and you know, rides off into the sunset to essentially come, he's not riding all the way from Texas to Montana, but on horseback like the olden days. But this is, and then, you know, once he gets there, she just melts and just crumbles in his arms, you know, crying beyond belief. And I don't know, I think for me, I was like, wow, this is a layer of her character in the midst of something really, really dark and deep that I actually enjoyed seeing. I'm like, man, I feel a little bit like Beth is someone who isn't just such this hard facade. I can do life, I can do everything on my own, and I'll just take out anyone I need to. It's like, no, I am a little bit human.
vulnerable Beth is a beautiful thing. The only other time that I can think of that we saw something similar, and it was a much, much smaller sequence, was after she was attacked in the office. She's really vulnerable in Rip's arms in that moment. But even then, she's still kind of fighting. I don't think it'll last into the next episode, though, do you?
Oh, no.
No. Like, we're done. Like, she's on to the revenge. And that's the conversation she has with Casey at the end of this episode, is she's starting to already go through sort of the paperwork and
she's like, all right, business, got to get, you know, logistics, move on, push past. You know, there's so much emotional trauma that if she went to counseling, that would be beautifully unpacked.
And that part made kind of sense for the character too. Like Beth is the one, she's the one that keeps things moving forward just to kind of keep her mind off things. So she's right into the estate and who gets the property and all of that, like, immediately.
Do you think that the way that they're saying he was assassinated is believable? And why I ask that is I went down a Reddit thread, just I wanted to see what people, fans of the show, were saying. And someone had said, they're like, a heart attack would have been more believable, especially after John's cancer diagnosis, you know, after the shooting, like the previous shooting, that there's no way a man who's survived all of that would kill himself.
No, and the aspect of it doesn't fit the character, and I think everybody knows that. But all the evidence they have suggests suicide, and there's no evidence that suggests it was anything but. Whereas, and I think when Sarah's meeting with Grant, he even mentions this, like an ME and medical examiner could discover the drug, the agent that's used to sort of stimulate a heart attack. So in the absence of any sort of other evidence, this is all they have to go with right now. So that's kind of where they are. But I think we'll get, Beth and Casey will get to the heart of it.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
A scene that I didn't really feel like it was important was at the very beginning when they kind of flash back to 6 weeks earlier, and we see Tate, who's like definitely now full on teenage boy. Tate, Monica, and Casey moving on to the ranch, to the cabin that hasn't been used in forever. And, you know, you see Monica and Tate affirming Casey of like, this is where we're supposed to be, yada, yada, yada. I didn't really feel like that scene was necessary.
He
saw the wolf. I did forget about that moment.
Well, he did see the wolf. But it was a nice sort of, I forget where that came in the sequence. Like, there was so much Texas. Like, I think we needed a little bit of a Casey update outside of just kind of dealing with his dad's death. And it also reminded us that he's sort of the man of the house now. Like, he's on the reservation. He was protecting the property while Rip was in Texas. John's taking care of governor things. Like, they're on the property now.
Oh, that's a good point.
It reminded us too, I guess, that Tate all of a sudden has a super deep voice and is 16 now. Like, that blew my mind as well. Like, Tate's like, hi, how you doing? I'm Tate Dutton. It's like,
whoa, right,
god dang, kid grew up fast.
I know, I wrote that down. I was like, whoa.
You know what it made me think of though? And gosh, do you want to put the conversation that you had with Tate or with Casey and Monica, with Luke Grimes and Kelsey Asbell, do you want to kind of tag that on to the end of this episode?
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
Because it's very relevant, like what you talked about. But share a little bit about what Casey said about his character and the decision they made, because that kind of fits in with what we saw there at the house, but also with what he's got going on with Beth Dutton.
He says that ultimately, Casey, like, we do have a resolution to... If you remember, he's always saying to Monica, I saw the end of us, and he's conflicted between, does he have to choose between his family or the Dutton Ranch? And he was saying that it ends in a way that there is resolution, not necessarily something that he would have personally thought of, that it did surprise him, but it ends in a way that he said is going to, like, once he read it, he thought, oh, yeah, this makes sense.
Do you think Casey dies?
Why, I guess, is the question for you.
Because all good things die on this show.
I thought Monica died. No, but I will say he's the character. If you're taking the siblings now that are left with Beth, Jamie, or Casey, I could see if Taylor chose to kill him, I think the fans' reaction would be definitely more grieving.
Yeah.
Than Beth or Jamie.
His death would be a huge emotional surprise. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason I think it's possible. Is because it would sort of hit.
Yeah.
It would be like something that people talked about. Like, But I hope not. I mean, he's the most lovable character on the show. That's important, right?
Is he the most lovable character on the show? Yeah, I guess as, yeah. I was thinking through all of our characters.
Yeah, I mean, aside from like, I don't know who you'd make a case for more. I mean, the bunkhouse Lloyd maybe or something like that. But in Casey's a much bigger character.
Yeah.
Character's more developed and interesting.
That's it. I want to know, staff at tasteofcountry.com, just a reminder to add any of y'all's thoughts and opinions, because that's a... Yeah, I haven't spent too much time marinating on Luke Grimes, who plays Casey Dutton, his comment towards that, just in the sense of I'm trying to parse through, you know, what Luke's saying about the way it's ending totally makes sense now. It didn't make sense to him how, like, originally he wouldn't have written it that way, and then seeing it, it makes sense. And then taking Kelly Riley, aka Beth Dutton's commentary of she felt like the ending was so well written and did the show justice. I'm like, okay, so how, what does that mean?
Do you, I don't know how much we need to talk about all the Texas that we saw. And that was the bulk of the episode, really, from a time perspective.
I thought it was boring.
It was a little dull, but I appreciated it because I've always liked the cowboy stuff. And I thought the first half of the season lacked that.
Yeah.
So it was kind of good to see that a little bit. And we got to see Jimmy. The dudes at the 4-6's ranch are just so buttoned up and like kind of cool to view into that world a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little too much of it. Like, this was a long episode. It was like, so this is kind of bananas. Did you watch on CBS?
I watched on Paramount.
Okay. You watched on. So I watched on CBS and it got to the hour point and like, they hadn't shown the scene where, Sarah Jamie confronts Sarah, or the scene where Casey and Beth. So it got to that hour point and started to do what I thought was like the wind down. I thought that was to be the end of the episode, but I had already read Sterling's review on tasteofcountry.com. I'm like, it cut all these scenes. I was starting to get really mad, but then they went long. So it was just fine. But yeah, they could have trimmed it down a little bit with a little bit less Texas. But I wasn't mad about it. I thought it was still pretty good, even though not too much happened.
Something that I enjoyed watching, this is just like a very niche statement, is the massive windmill, like the solar windmills. Do you know what I'm talking about? The big white things that you see as they're driving in. Those are like, that is when I think of driving through Texas, like where I used to live in Austin up to like Lubbock, Texas, where my grandparents live. That's when we would always know that we're like, you're entering into the, just like the very flat, like obviously hill country is more Austin. And then you just enter the flat, nothing but dirt, tumbleweeds. So it felt a little bit like home when I was watching that scene. You know, you're getting closer to Lubbock
as well.
Oh, really? It's not just a, I was really, really hoping my Texas pride could flex a little bit more, but that's fine.
No, I think they are kind of neat to drive through as well. I get excited for them and they are kind of one of those reminders of home. So the episode ends with, because Casey, this whole time, he doubts that Jamie's capable of this. Like, he's telling Beth, I don't think Jamie did. And she challenges him to go talk to Jamie, look into his eyes and ask him. And she says, and then come back and help me plan how to kill him.
Yeah.
So she's still pretty sure. I got to believe that's what we're going to get here in episode two as we kind of look forward, is there's going to be a Jamie and Casey conversation and a lot of Beth plotting how to kill her brother.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah. I don't see a world in which that's not that.
Do you think any of the cowboys come home? Ryan, Teeter, Jake, Gator. I mean, do you think any of them come home? Or you think are they just Walker? Is he just parked there for the remainder of this season?
I think parked there for the remainder. Well, I think halfway through. I think I could see a world in which someone tries to, once again, take down the Dutton Ranch, as we know will happen. And just when it comes to like people defending the ranch, they're going to need more hands on deck. And so I could see, because Ryan, I think right now is in charge of everyone, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
Rip was leaving. And I could see Ryan being like, guys, we've got to get back to Montana and help.
I need a character resolution for Walker and I need a character resolution for Lloyd.
I don't care about Walker. I would need a character resolution for Lloyd. But he's on the farm. I mean, he's on the ranch. He's not in Texas.
He is. Yep. So we might get that. But Okay, well, that's the episode. A lot to get through there. We'll be back next week as well to break down episode 2, I think. I'm more excited about it now that we've talked about it. You know what I mean? Like, at the time, I thought it was a little bit slow, but, like, I don't know. I'm a little more amped up now that I've kind of talked about it and really sort of dug into it like we do.
I know. I'm glad we're back. And I'm excited to also stick on Luke Grimes and Kelsey Aspiel's interview I had with them. I think y'all will really enjoy it.
And then we can do maybe the Wes Bentley interview next week or soon enough, because that was insightful as well.
And I say we hold a little bit talking about that until next episode.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
It was definitely interesting.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Comments, questions, should we get to those?
Oh, yes, we should. I thought you were asking me comments or questions. I was like, nah, I got none. Okay, the first one I have for us today is from YouTube, and it's regarding who gets off the pushed off the train station that we talked about the previous episode that we see in the trailer. And it says, I see this to be Ella Steele or Bob Schwartz. I don't see Beth not killing. I just don't see Beth not killing Jamie. Can you remind us who Ella Steele or Bob Schwartz is?
Ella Steele was the character who I could never remember his name. That was Carolyn Warner's right-hand man, the lawyer.
There it is.
Market. Bob Schwartz is Beth's old boss. And what this is directly referring to is the trailer where we see someone get pushed off the train station. And I actually have some bad news to report on this. I went back and watched some old episodes. That was an old clip from season 1 of Yellowstone. It's Fred. That's who's getting pushed off.
In
the season 5 trailer is Fred season 1. Yep.
That's
and there's
so,
no doubt about it.
Yeah.
A couple of people have suggested it in comments and stuff, and I went back and watched, and it's very clearly Fred getting pushed off.
As Billy says, that's now a don't worry about it situation.
100%, 100%. But we were wrong on that because I think we got people all juiced up that it was someone new, but it wasn't.
Two more for us, and they came from our emails. Jared says, I think the pipeline that is to go through the reservation plays a huge role in the upcoming seasons. The memory of John Dutton plays a big role in various plot lines. I don't see how Beth and Jamie live. Jamie is such a troubled soul, so I would be shocked if he survives. Sarah Atwood and Ella Steele both go to the train station. They did a great job placing clips from previous seasons in the trailer.
So the part I want to talk about here is we didn't talk about the reservation really at all. We're hopeful, I think, that there's more of that plot line through the rest of season 5, although I'm a little bit doubtful. But the pipeline that was being built towards or announced at the end of part 1 of season 5 now, we have a little bit of an update on. That's right going right under their lake, their water source. And they're very concerned it could break and taint the water. And apparently the Mo and Chief Rainwater are up for it. They're up for staging a really big fight, and it could get violent. Like, this could be a very ugly scene for the reservation as they sort of work. With Governor John Dutton dead, I don't know if he still has an ally now in Montana's politics. Like, I don't know who the new governor is going to be. Like, kind of curious to see where that ends up. But with Tate now, because remember, we didn't mention this. Tate is the... he gets the land. Like, the Yellowstone is now Tate's.
That is wild, right? No, yeah. I mean, yes, but I haven't thought too much about it.
But this could bring the land, the Yellowstone, back to the reservation. Like,
oh yeah. Oh,
that was weird.
Sorry. Continue.
Edison and I, we film on Riverside, and like, I put my hands together to show like the people bring it together, and I thought I was doing a heart emoji, and Riverside popped up all these hearts, like very, very uncomfortable. Anyways, so yeah, that could be part of that. But I appreciate that comment, Jared, because that did give us a chance to talk about what happened on the reservation. It was such a small part of this first episode back, but I'm hoping it's going to be a bigger part here coming up.
And the last comment I have for us today is from Troy, who said, I know they needed a way to explain away the loss of Costner, but suicide? There's no way Jamie can think that Beth, Casey, Rip would ever believe John killed himself. And he also knows that all three of them are not only capable of it, but almost certainly going to get revenge. I guess the whole season now will be how they will get even. It will be a wild ride, I hope.
Yes. To all of the above, like everything just said is like, yes, I co-sign what he said. Like suicide is not practical, but explainable. It's going to be all about revenge, them getting even. Like this is what we're parking ourselves in for. 100%.
Alrighty, y'all. What an episode to unpack, and come hang out with us next week.
Yeah. staff@tasteofcountry.com for your emails or a trivia answer. If you have one, and I appreciate us getting through the episode without spoiling that answer, because I thought we were going to, but we didn't. High five there.
Well, y'all, this is another insightful, and yes, I know Billy, I've used that word before, but I do feel like it's fitting for this episode.
Fair.
Town Square Media Podcast. Remember to rate, review, send this to a friend. We love getting to do this podcast, and it's not possible without y'all.
Enjoy Addison talking to Casey and Mike.
Bye.
Kicking things off, something that we've gotten to talk to Lainey Wilson about before and loved her reaction. And I've never thought about this, but we asked her, is there anything from set that you've taken? And she shared it with us. She's like, I took a razor. I took something else from the bunkhouse. And so... getting things warmed up here, I just would love to know, have y'all taken anything from the Yellowstone set?
You've got a good one.
Yeah, I asked Janetta Boone, our amazing costume designer, if I could have my or Casey's jacket and hat. And yeah, she was kind enough to let me have those, which I think, you know, two very iconic pieces of wardrobe that probably will be more important to me than any other wardrobe I ever have. Yeah. So I got to keep those.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Well, what about I think I am the dummy that I don't know about it.
Did you take anything? Come on. Go get some.
Terrible.
Go get yourself.
I got to go back. I'm going to go back. I know. I was trying to be all professional. And shoot.
You know what you should have taken?
What? Boy,
the head bandage.
Oh, my God.
No. From the
well, that's actually very easy to make at home. No,
it's just toilet paper.
I actually, it's actually toilet. It's just TP. I think what I should have taken is I should have taken that Monica sweater. That sweater is so people ask me every season where it's from, and it's just a vintage piece. So.
Ask Janetta, she'll give
it to you. That's a bug, Janetta. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like we can still maybe make this happen. When it comes to at the end of this past season, season A, we see you guys kind of wrestle with this. Okay, we're going to move to the Dutton Ranch. And we might think, does this eliminate Casey having to choose between Monica or the ranch? I would love to hear from y'all's perspective. What's the tension that we're going to see come be?
Yeah, it does come to a head this season. I mean, I think sort of Casey's whole journey has been that sort of being stuck, and you know, you've heard him say it time and time again, like, I just don't know my place in the world, what I'm supposed to do, what's the right path, you know, the vision quest, all that stuff. And I think, you know, finally he has to make a choice and become very decisive, and that was really fun to play and very different from seasons past.
Was it the decision you were expecting?
No, you know, none of it was expected, I think. But it was one of those things where once I read it, I was like, of course, this is how this has to end.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's absolutely perfect, but it was not something that I ever, you know, dreamed up myself.
Yeah.
Interesting. It sounds like I might be shocked watching all that to be said. Will Sunday's episode shock us? As much as you can say.
I'm like, yes. Think so, yeah. Yeah, maybe in a big way.
Big yes.
Big yes.
Hard yes.
Yeah. Epic yes.
Interesting. Okay, nothing that we've necessarily been seeing via the trailer or anything like that.
We're coming in hot, right out of the gates.
It starts at a 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting. I'm like, probably blood probably a lot of guns going off. Y'all play, obviously, a married couple on the show. Probably spend a lot of time together just naturally. What are some, I would love just on a personal level, what are some quirks that you guys have learned about each other in the
season? Oh, God.
That's funny.
What are quirks?
You know what? I'll say something about Kelsey. I envy her for this. Kelsey can eat absolutely whatever she wants and look amazing and never gain a pound. I don't know how she does it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's it's a superpower. We all wish we had that.
Lou's from Ohio. I'm from South Carolina. So we're used to our fast food. So yeah, I get him.
Fast food. I had to stop because I would balloon up to 500 pounds.
I sneak in some Taco Bell into his diet every now and again, yeah. You know?
Anytime I have fast food, it's with this one.
Yeah. Kelsey, so we're a big Taco Bell lover is what I'm hearing.
I love Taco Bell. Oh, the number three combo is... Yeah, supreme.
No pun intended.
I know. You know.
Amazing. Well, y'all, 5 minutes, it's amazing how fast that will fly. But truly, thank you so much for taking time. It was great to meet you guys. And it sounds like I'm going to be in for a treat on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.